Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to welcome you to our call. This is our prayer devotional call, and it's focuses on what the Lord is saying in the now. We are at a place and a time where God is moving mightily, and you're going to hear from several of us tonight, myself, John Rockwell, who's commissioned and ordained in this ministry. You're going to hear from April Clausen Brown, who is one of the female leaders and prophetic voices out of Canada and part of our ministry as far as being active and helping us. She submits input to our prayer guide calendar on a monthly basis, and tonight we're blessed to have her coming on and sharing. So it's going to be a powerful night. John is going to bring words of encouragement and some incredible music, and we're going to spend some time in prayer, praying about multiple things. Buckle up. It is an hour and a half, but I guarantee if you'll hold on, you're going to be blessed. So, Father, we come right now in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua. And the word that you gave me today is a word that you've been giving me for a long time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, Lord, I know that's, Matthew 6:33, and how important that is for any of us, that we would seek you first in everything we do. And I'll be honest, I don't do that every day, all the time, and nobody that I know really does. There are a few exceptions in the prophetic world that I know, and ministers that seek him for everything, and I fall short on this. So it's a word that has come back, and it was, go back to this, go back to my first love, seek him. So I want to encourage every one of you, seek ye the Lord. Seek him first from the beginning of the day to the closing of the night, and every business decision, every family decision, financial decision, everything you've got, seek him first, fast pray, because every day is a new day unto him. And out of our study guide, out of our prayer guide, Juan of Oster is one of the key writers that we use on a regular basis. And out of that word that came out this Saturday, it was something that she heard the Lord say. He says, we need to fast and pray. It's a new day. Now, Chuck Pierce, who happens to be the head over me in my personal ministry, and I'm licensed, commissioned, ordained out of there, as well as with the Republic, as always seeking him and fasting and praying. He just had a 21-day prayer focus and fast that came up into Passover. Now, many of you know on the calendar, the prayer guide, it does come the beginning first, anywhere from 15 to 25 pages, is what is the Messianic Hebrew perspective? What is the Lord saying from the old to the new? And I had a saying that I coined years and years ago. I've been using it so much now, lots of people use it, is you need to have Hebrew roots to understand Christian fruits. Yeshua Christ was a Hebrew. Everybody wants to say he was king of the Jews. I'd be willing to bet you $100 if you could actually go back and look, because I know this, so it's cheating. You'd go back to the original historical documents, it did not say just king of the Jews. It said king of the Hebrews. And he was king of kings and lord of lords. He was and still is. So right now it's the season as we go in, and any of you that's been a farmer or a rancher or have livestock or even animals, it is the time for birthing. And that birthing, God is birthing a new thing. And he says, you're going to have to press into me because you can't serve the world and me at the same time. You can have a job, take care of your family, but put me first. Okay, serve me first. And then all these things will be added unto you. And everything that you desire, if you'll submit it unto me, you're going to see a difference. If you'll abandon everything and come unto me in this hour, because of all the shaking, all the challenges, all the pressure that's around us, we're going to look at things from a different perspective. He's saying, come up here. You know, in Revelation, he says, John was talking about it. He says, come up here and I'll show you things, and it's also Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, that are new to you, that you've not seen, that you'd not know or understand that I'm doing or what I'm about to do. And he's literally to the point that he's returning his people to an understanding of who he is, you know, and that he's the God of heaven and earth. And it doesn't seem like it to a lot of people, even the churches. You know that over 62% of the churches, they don't even teach the fullness of the Bible. It's kind of scary. They base it on the Bible, but they practice religion instead of relationship. And, you know, true religion is separated from the world. We're supposed to have the ecclesia. The leadership and government is supposed to come out of the church, not out of the world. And the Lord's saying right now, I'm the one that created the heavens and the earth. Why did you push my words aside? And as it was funny with the last comment with Mark Binder just then and Mark Carroll about, it was Mark Carroll, I beg your pardon, about Colorado, about how windy it is. And he says, there's a fiery wind of my spirit that's blowing upon the church right now. And it seems like a suddenly storm has come upon us, but it's not. It's been building up for centuries. It's just now is the time, this is the season, that he's shifting everything and bringing us into a point of understanding and recognition where he's saying, now is the time, this is the season. Now, so many people, and I'm talking about on this call and anywhere you go today, will say to you, I'm torn. I'm torn because everything is being shaken. My family is being shaken. My life's being shaken. Nothing seems to be working. And you go, people in a lot of the denominations, they'll look at you and say, what's the sin in your life? Anything got anything to do about the sin in your life? It has a whole lot to do with where you are. God has got us walking in a place that we're pressing into the light of his glory. And without the light of his glory, we're not going to really know what is going on or what he's saying or what he wants us to do, because he wants us to come up and see from his eyes, from his perspectives, above the battle. We call it the fray, the battle that's going on in the world. And he always comes after your weakest link. And what's the weakest link in your family? Is it a child, a grandchild, a spouse? Is it you physically? Is it something that has been going on that you haven't dealt with? Now, we're studying in one particular ministry team that I deal with on Wednesdays that I'm a part of. And we've been looking at this a program. It's not new. It's been developing for 20-some years. And it's dealing with the areas of our soul. We come in and we press through and we get right in the spirit. And you can feel it in the spirit. You can feel it in your bones. There's fire in your bones. But we never go back and deal with the ancestral issues and the woundings of your spirit, the very DNA. Many people want to talk about med beds, and they're all excited. Med beds are supposed to this. Med beds are supposed to that. Well, I actually wrote one of the white papers on the med beds years ago when it was being developed, and I'm hoping to be able to see one of those soon on a business trip. And they do a lot of things. Primarily what they're doing is regenerating your stem cells. And in regenerating your stem cells, it causes the body to reverse many sickness, diseases, illnesses. And they say, well, it's going to take you back half age. Well, it doesn't physically take you back to that place. It causes the body to restore that which has been injured up to about half life. And all of a sudden, things that bothered you, overcoming all kinds of sickness, disease, and infirmities, don't bother you anymore because they have been dealt with by your body that was created by the Creator to be able to heal itself. But we have worn ourselves down. Think about it. When Adam died, he was 900 plus years old. His sin was considered the most grievous first sin. But actually, I said this last month, it wasn't the sin of eating the fruit. It was the sin of agreement, agreeing with the enemy. Did God really say this? When we get into that scenario, when we look at what God is saying, and the enemy asks you, did he really say this? And you question, did he really say that? without checking the word, then you are in a problem already, and it allows the enemy to come in and hurt, break down your DNA. Scientists proved, I've do some research and have worked with many doctors on white papers, and they say the helix of the DNA literally through trauma gets broken, cracked, has places in it that's literally broken down. And scientists used to say there's no way to heal that. Now they're all coming back and saying, wait a minute, current research shows that in the medical community you can heal your DNA. And that's what the med bed and many of the I use what's called a life wave. It is a light frequency patch that I put on the back of my neck. Major difference. I was able to eliminate neuropathy from a stroke. People say, well, you've failed because you know, there's sin in your life. I said, no, I've been on the front line so long that I've been in more hand-to-hand combat than many. Not as much as some, but more than others. And I got injured. I made mistakes. And the Lord's showing me, not only does he want to heal those areas in our lives, but also he wants us to restore the very DNA. He wants to do it. Now, it's like guiding a surgeon's hands. It's like pharmaceuticals do make some good. Most of the pharmaceuticals now are corrupted, where they're not after healing anything. They just want to maintain you, so they keep on draining your money. That's a little, you know, slanted on my side here, but after doing years of research, I saw that. At the same time, I saw where we could heal people from Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's by eliminating certain sugars and detoxifying the brain. And they came after us, American Medical Association came after us, because we published in multiple medical journals the truth. It's just like the COVID thing. You can't have the drugs that will, you know, cure COVID. They took them off the market. My wife and I got the antibodies the last day they were available in Houston. We were over COVID in a day and a half. Severe COVID. Gone. Just by having antibodies. They took them off the market because they wanted us to suffer. Now, that sounds awful political again, but it's the corruption of the enemy. So today, every day, this past month's calendar, which is, you know, we're finishing up right now. April's going to be doing her piece of it, or whatever the Lord's given her tonight. I put in there a warfare prayer. It's about putting on the armor of God. God gave me directions years ago about putting on the armor of God. He said, I want you to look like Rambo. I said, what? He says, Paul was looking at the Praetorian guards during winter. He was in a top-end prison, more or less. He wasn't looking at regular soldiers. He was looking at the elite. And most people don't know it, but they didn't walk around in sandals in the wintertime. They had pants. A lot of things. We got the Greek mindset. They have these little shields. You look at the Romans. The movie Gladiator gave you the best petition of, you know, a picture of what a Roman Praetorian guard looked like during the wintertime. And they had hobnail boots back then. Their shields were 30 inches by 40 inches. The different types of armor. God says, I want you to look like Rambo. So that prayer was, what do I do? How do I put on my armor? And he says, I want you to have every weapon you can have, which starts out, most importantly, the ends up being is the word of God. But he says, warriors, it's time to put your armor on. It's time to get ready. And you're going to see going into this new calendar, I talk about that in one of the articles. Warriors, get your armor on. And Paul said this, and it was an active situation. Ephesians 6:13 said, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, therefore stand. We're at a situation of life and death right now. Now, our tongue controls a lot of it, but the enemy's coming in to attack. So do not be surprised. Like Peter said, do not be surprised at the fiery trials among you or against your family. Do not totally isolate yourself. I found myself over and over again doing that. Pulling aside is one thing. Isolating yourself is another. The enemy wants to do nothing more than to separate. Okay? Separate and conquer. Separate and conquer. He hasn't changed his battle plan in all these years. Kill, steal, destroy. Separate and conquer. Pull that one sheep out of the herd. Put them over there and destroy them. Well, he's very good at it. He's been doing it for thousands of years. What we have to recognize is that God says, do not deny your fellowship. You can step away from things, but do not step away from those that you can call upon and pray with you and will join you in the battle. Also, you'll find that I teach, I'm going over some new things tonight that's repeats to many others, is don't go stand in the gap for somebody unless the Lord tells you to, because he might be dealing with us, might be dealing with other people. And you always get permission. It's one of the big things that I teach is get permission. David at Gilgal, he could have gone with his mighty men and gone after those that had taken everything, their families, their homes, their children, their finances. But he went to, and the Israelis wanted to kill him because he'd gone out, you know, fighting with the enemy, one of the enemies, to defeat their enemies. And he went before the Lord and he says, do I pursue and recover all? And the Lord gave him permission. He says, pursue and surely you'll recover all. Plus he got a bounty. He got lots of good things from that. So we're in a time and a season right now where people are saying, what the heck is going wrong? What went wrong, Lord? Where did I go wrong? Even when Matt said he had to step away, and I said, Matt, I feel like you've abandoned me. What have I done wrong? Have I done anything wrong? He got back to it, and he said, no, you haven't done anything wrong. The Lord put me on an assignment. Well, we all have assignments at times. We all have to step aside at times. And he said, it's not what you've done. It's what the enemy's doing. So don't run away. Run to. We are in the time and season of our busiest schedules. The enemy tries to keep us busy like never before. And the Lord is saying, now is the time. Put on your armor. Make sure your sword is sharp. If you show up every day that you get up, put on your armor. He told me this, and I taught on this for quite a while. And he says, if you show up any day without your armor on, you're showing up naked. And I'd start out teaching this, and I said, how many of you show up to work naked every day? Well, everybody looks at you and, what, Pastor? I said, I'm not trying to be sexual. Would you walk into your office naked? You ladies, you men, would you do that? Well, no. I said, then why do you show up naked every day? Without the armor of God, you're naked to the enemy. So the enemy is seeking to bring fear, anxiety, and frustration this time. And it's imperative that we put on the fullness of the armor so that we will not fall prey to his schemes. That the attack that's coming on us will not find a place, a chink in our armor, that he can get into and get a hook in. And the first thing he goes after is our mind. That's why the helmet's there. You know, emotions. You know, that's why the breastplate's there. You know, your heart. So there's so much that could be said there. Go back, those of you who have that calendar, go back to that particular prayer. It's called my warfare prayer. And look at praying that. We've had people recently, Jim and I and others, have been praying with folks that Carpenter, Governor Carpenter, and it's to help in their battles. And it's true for anybody. The Word of God is active and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword cutting between spirit and soul, between joint and marrow, and exposes the innermost thoughts and desires, not just of man, but the enemy. Hebrews 4:12. So praise your way. Press in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't allow the enemy to literally destroy you because of your victories. Because the enemy is trying to shut down your victories. And if you're under tremendous attack right now, you need to thank God. Because if you were not under attack, it's because you're not doing anything. You know, so the bully's trying to show up to get you to shut up. And he wants you to be quiet because you are shaking the kingdom of darkness. So we need to have our protection, and our protective covering is the blood, is the word. And this is another thing for you folks that are new tonight, listening in or on this call, when you plead the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, to those of you that are not familiar with the name Yeshua, that's his formal name. Jesus, he recognizes because that's what's been taught, but his name's Yeshua. And I even asked him that, and he said, my name is Yeshua. I recognize Jesus, but my name is Yeshua. I said, okay, Lord, then I shall call you Yeshua from now on. When we press into him and the blood that he shed, you claim the blood from the core of every cell in your body, the very atom. And if you look at a piece of kiwi fruit, you'll know what an atom looks like. There's a center, and then it's got these little strings that go out, and it goes out to the outer edge, goes to the meat of the cell, and on that outside and that outer edge would be the blood membrane barrier, and it's called silica. They're little, and they look like Ys. They're male and female, folks. A male has to meet with a female. It has to come into the two. And the cells look to communicate. If you cover something from the outside with the blood, okay, it's not as effective as covering it from the inside out. You want the blood of Yeshua from the inside out in everything you do, your home, your family, your vehicles, your pets, yourself. So that's part of that warfare prayers that you're dealing with, and it'll be gone. You'll go into great depths on that. Also, the key that he's saying right now, and he said this over and over to us, to those of us that pray together on a regular weekly basis, he says that the church has lost my glory. And he says, I'm restoring my glory. And in restoring my glory, you're going to see the plans of the enemy revealed. And if you'll release my glory, the light of my glory, and it'll go forth from you, then you're going to drive the enemy out. You never want to seal the enemy in your home. When you plead the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, over your home, if there's anything in there, guess what? It can't get out because it can't pass that blood membrane barrier. So what you want to do is plead the blood of Yeshua from the core of your home outward, below, above, around, all around you, through your neighborhood. You want it to be like a flash fire going out, burning up everything of the enemy from the inside out. So the words that you speak, the prayers that you pray are powerful. They're unique in that you affect the physical and the spiritual in your prayers. And we've been given right now many, many, many men and women out there, sons and daughters of God, have been given assignments. And you might not know what your assignment is, but he wants to give everybody an assignment. That assignment might just be a lifestyle of worship. It might be a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It might be that you're going to go take on something, but you don't do so unless he tells you. You don't get in fights you don't need to be in. And part of our group prayed for months about taking on certain principalities, and we never got permission. We've dealt with minions. We've dealt with certain things, but we never got permission to take on others. And we're saying, why? Because he takes those on. When Michael said, the Lord rebuke you, Lucifer, it's because Lucifer was an archangel. Michael's an archangel. And he knew not to rebuke Lucifer. He said, the Lord rebuke you. So as we go forward, keep this in mind. Romans 8, 38 and 39. This is something you got to have in your life, that I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Yeshua our Lord, for us. So, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the fullness of the armor. It was an active situation we had to do. Put on the fullness of the armor. Stand. Stand once you've done everything you can do to stand. Stand therefore, because he is the one that's going to make the difference in your life through you. He also said this last month to a bunch of us in prayer. He says, I no longer want you to reflect the light. Now, don't be shocked. He said, I don't want you to reflect my light. And you're going to see an article in this month, and you're going to see some incredible artwork. He says, I want you to be my light. He says, the enemy looks at you, he should see me, not you. He should see my blood, my authority, my position, my covering, my armor, and out of my eyes should come the fire of my glory, out of your eyes, my light, and the enemy's going to flee. Now, folks, please remember something very important. He did not say that the weapons would not be formed against you. He said they would not prosper. So where the enemy comes in to try to bring this heartache, frustration, anxiety, fear, exhaustion, weariness, remember this. Seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all things will be added unto you, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. That doesn't mean we're all going to have it right when we want it, exact when we think we should. It's going to be on his timing, through his way, through his will, through his word. And in that, we become more than conquerors. Lord, I just come to you right now, and we need a bell or a horn after this. Lord, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua. I come and call upon you in the precious blood. I ask that you would take each and every one of us and let that root down deep within our spirit. Lord God, that we plead and appropriate the name, the authority, and the blood from the mitochondria called the furnace of every cell. That's the core of every cell outward in our lives. Ourselves, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our animals, our home, our vehicles, our work, everything we do, that the blood of Yeshua comes in our lives from the very core outward. Drive out all wickedness, all the enemy, break off every attachment, heal every wound. Lord, help us to see, know, and understand that we have the right and authority to go back in our ancestral bloodlines and come in agreement about the judgment, ask for forgiveness and mercy, and have that cleansed. And then something that we're just finally starting to understand, they don't teach this in denominational churches, the spiritual warfare of going in and the healing of the souls. Lord, the breaking of the DNA, the breaking of our fullness of who we are in you, that it can be restored, it can be made whole, and that we are called to be complete and made new in you, new creations as sons and daughters, as we were before the fall, as we were when we were in you, Father Abba. And we thank you for it. We call upon it. Manifest now in our lives in Yeshua's name. Amen. Glory, glory. April Clausen Brown is somebody that I hold dear in my life. She's a wonderful woman. When she came to my home last year, Francis and I, and she found out that I'm a hugger. I thought Francis was going to have to pry us apart. She'd already penetrated my heart, and she's so important to us. She's a full-blood Cree. She's a First Nations prophetess, an intercessor, and that for all nations, not just Canada, United States, every tribe, every tongue that will hear what the Lord says through her. And she's a major contributor to this ministry and also into our lives. And April, I welcome you and thank you for being here. And whatever the Lord's put on your heart for tonight, the word that you have in the calendar or something else you can add to, whatever it is, you have freedom, and thank you for being here. April?
Good evening. And thank you, Wade. You'll have to excuse my froggy throat. Yeah, I just don't come in agreement with it, but it kind of a little bit there. So recuperating from some things. Thank you, everybody, and blessings to everyone and to all those who are going to be listening to the call at a later time. Thank you, Father, right now. We just welcome just a greater portion of your heart tonight, Father, a greater portion of your heart. Thank you, Father, that this is a time where you are returning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, hearts of the fathers, Father, lest you strike the land with a curse. And, Father, you love us so greatly, so greatly. And so, Father, we just thank you that tonight our ears are open, our spirits are open, our lives are open, and mostly, Lord God, our hands are open to you because we just want to receive from your heart what you would have us hear tonight. So, Father, fill my mouth. Let me only speak the words that you would have me speak tonight, Lord, in Yeshua's name. So, what I'm going to do is just a little bit out of what I wrote on the in the calendar, and then I do want to jump off into something else because I've been praying and asking the Lord too on how to best verbalize share what the Lord's been showing me lately. And I don't know about you all, from what I understand, there's, everybody has gifts on this call, and whether you're a hearer or a sealer or a feeler or a prophetic or just read your Bible and things leap off the page, or, whether you're a dreamer and the Lord gives you a dream, we're all hearing things. And sometimes, at least for me, it seems like it comes in so fast and feels like there's been a bit of a time of trying to catch up. And that's what I've been feeling like lately. But that's just me, perhaps. Anyway, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. This comes from on March 17th, around that time. I was in Saskatchewan right now, down on the west coast of British Columbia, near Vancouver, in a town called White Rock, city called White Rock. And I'm here for a season, and then I may be going back to Saskatchewan again. But for the time being, here I am. And but this was when I was in Saskatchewan there. So what happened was on March 17th, I was with my son, and I was sharing with him regarding some things that were going on in the spirit, trying to explain to him, a little bit of what the Lord has been having me pray and things like that. So I'm just going to read here. Had the most interesting thing happen at 10:27 our time here in northern Saskatchewan. It began earlier in the morning with a vision, and which I see like a movie in front of my eyes even now. I will start there. What I saw were huge trees being uprooted by a very powerful excavation type of machine, which gripped the trunk of these trees and then dug down deep, so deep under them to clear out every root. These trees were being transplanted or were being removed with an unseen hand to locations where they were retransplanted. Although in the portion of war, in the portion of or movement, motion of movement, the unseen hand literally intensely shook vigorously all the old dirt off of these trees. And when they were replanted, they instantly bloomed and flourished as soon as they were planted in the specific areas where they were to be. There were orchards and orchards of these transplants. Each of us and others got these incredibly flourished orange orchard, fruit orchard, fruit we've never ever seen before in our lifetime of orchards. Now, is that literal? I'm just going to stop for a moment. Is that a literal orange orchard? Is that a literal fruit orchard? I couldn't tell you. I just know that that's what it looked like. They look like either oranges or fruit, or aptly, more aptly, as I described, after fruit we have never seen before. I saw these types of machines, which not only trimmed hedges, the huge, tall kind of hedges, but these were also uprooted, and by the same unseen hand, which had shaken so intensely, vigorously, the trees, did so again, so that all their roots fell off, all the dirt fell off their roots also. So all these huge hedges. These were then also moved and replanted also into new territories and specific places. I saw hedges, but heard the word hedge funds. I am not ignorant, but I also do not know exactly fully what that means. I just knew that I knew that all of these things were being cleared out. Then suddenly next, I was within the ocean, deep enough to see kelp forests, and these forests were also being removed, but this was a different removal. There seemed to be a, quote, liquidation of them. They became one with the water, and I knew this unseen hand was also liquefying them down to their roots below the ground. The water around the kelp forest was being liquidated, or the water around the kelp forest being liquidated was different from the ocean water, so that I could see the difference of what was being done. What came to me about the roots and the underground, even in the ocean, was that these were deeply private or hidden assets, treasures, and then I put Isaiah 45:2-3, the hidden treasures in darkness, as per Isaiah 45:2-3. What I heard, though, was, as I was watching this, was offshore stocks and liquid assets were now being liquefied, and the unseen hand then gathered this water by a frequency vibration and translated that land, that water upon the land, upon which, upon the new transplants which had been replanted. Instantly, as this frequency vibration released this liquidation or liquid, the land itself gulped it like it had just received life water. And new colors immediately began springing up, gushing up, bursting upward again, colors, frequencies, vibrations I have no knowledge of. I could hear all the colors, frequencies, and vibrations singing melodies which I have not heard before. Now, anybody who is a musician may understand this. I'm going to use this word. And also descants. Above descants. For those who do not know what a descant is a melody. You have like a choral piece of music. That's kind of best described as a choral piece of music. Then you have a melody that's above that. It's usually a higher. And sometimes, some of you, again, if you're musicians or gifted in worship and that kind of thing, you know, when you're in a worship session or in church, sometimes you get so caught up in worship, you hear music that seems ethereal. It's the extra music, you know, where you can almost know that you know that you know that the angels were singing with us. So there were descants above descants above descants. So, and it was overwhelmingly beautiful, which caused other happenings to occur, which even as I was writing this portion couldn't describe. Although these were in the air or atmosphere, there was a tangible weight of fluidity in which we could breathe in and operate fluently with all the nuances of it. I don't even fully understand or know exactly what that means, except that the verse, Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being, And it seemed to me that whatever we do now has the ability to cause us to function in ways we have never functioned before, to everything around us, and to cause everything around us to function in ways it has never been before either. So that was the end of my vision. And so what I was doing as I was speaking with my son, I was explaining to him what the Holy Spirit has been doing. And as we've been praying, as Wade said, you know, with a number of different intercession groups, and, you know, even in our own quiet time, and this is something, again, encouraging you all as you have your own times with the Lord, that we operate just to kind of give a sphere. We all pray. We pray here in our physical realm, but as we pray, our prayers affect the spiritual realm that we don't see, and we affect the quantum realm, which is kind of a new thing. Like, where does that all fit in? Well, the quantum realm is above the spiritual realm, and what I would say the quantum realm is the realm that, for those who I'm just going to say it this way. That's the realm where the witchcraft, the higher places of where it says, you know, wickedness and high places, where the things that those who operate within the new world order type kind of stuff, they operate. But we have authority over that. As you speak in tongues, and again, as Wade says, we only get permission to do things within these realms, as he says. And then lastly, there's the kingdom realm. We always pray from the kingdom realm down. So we start here in the physical realm, because that's where we are, but we make our declarations from the kingdom realm down through back down to the physical realm. Because we start from the top. We start from the throne of God. We start from the heart of God, from the heart of Hashem. And so, we can bring whatever that we've been praying for down from that, from the heart of the Father, down into our realm. So, now, as I was explaining some of this to my son, the words came out literally that there's going to be a power outage for them. There will be a shift of power, and boom, all of a sudden, our house power literally goes out. I was just getting ready to make a cup of coffee for my breakfast or breakfast, and it was like, oops, you know, power's out. But the power went out literally on our grid somewhere. It wasn't even in the house. It wasn't a fuse box thing. And right away, I felt to look at the time, because the Lord always, there's something about time. The Lord always has highlighted to me, and the time at that moment was 10:27. So I began to look up some verses. And it was, so the verse one I got was Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And that was encouraging. Isaiah 10:27. And he gave it to me in three different versions, had me read, and I'm going to go ahead and read those. So in that day, the burden of Assyria, of the Assyrian, will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because of the fat. So basically, we're talking about a burden, a yoke, and the Lord is going to break that. In Isaiah 10:37, in the literal standard version, it says, "And it has come to pass in that day, his burden is turned from off of your shoulder and his yoke broken off your neck, and the yoke has been destroyed because of prosperity." And then the last one is Isaiah 10:27 in the English Standard Version, "And it shall come to pass in that day, his burden shall depart off thy shoulder and his yoke off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And so, you know, I just knew that the Lord was had activated something in the spirit. This wasn't just a you know, oh, the power went out, let's, you know, let's whatever. We ended up waiting for a while. I just knew the Lord began to speak. And so there's some more verses. If you got the calendar and you're reading, you can go ahead and read that, the rest of the verses there. But so we waited at 12:05, 12. And the power came on, at which the words out of my mouth at that time was, we've got the power. And so why do I say this? Why am I sharing this? Why I'm sharing this is I believe that the Lord is showing, you know, each one of us. Again, we all have different ministries. We all have different walks. We have all have different lanes we're walking in on this call. People who are going to be hearing this down the line have different lanes that they're walking. They have different ministries or anointings or just their own personal walk with the Lord. We are all walking ahead on a path, and the Lord is beginning to move, and we're beginning to move ahead with such acceleration, but not only such acceleration, with an increased power and anointing of the Lord, because he's wanting to prepare us for what we're coming into next. Now, the next month here is IR, or ER. I'm not really sure how to pronounce that. One day I will become a very good Jewish student and understand all the pronunciations. But until then, I will get by with how I do so. I was reading about that yesterday, and what it means is it means light. And a vision, now this is the portion where I'm going to go off out of the calendar there and share what's on my heart. The Holy Spirit has given me fairly recently an understanding of, and it's perhaps probably because of the home that I'm living in. I'm staying with some friends who are a Jewish couple. And let me tell you, there's a portal open over at his house, probably that I haven't been under ever, and it's been fun and very interesting. So one of the things that happened here not too long ago was I was just praying with the couple. They're an older couple in their, mid to late 70s, and we were sharing our hearts and then began to pray. And this one man prayed just a very simple prayer, and as a seer, all of a sudden I could see words, but it wasn't words. And I should correct myself. I saw characters, like letter characters, and at first I didn't understand what those letter characters were. Long story short, I began to realize that they were the Hebrew living letters. You know, if anybody knows about the alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, and so on and so forth, their action, you know, the Lord has described them to me as the kind of the very first action characters. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cute, you know. But they're action characters. But they're words. They're living letters. They're, you know, again, but you can equate that with the scripture that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And when he spoke out the Word, things happened. They presented themselves, asked Hashem to allow them to be a part of creation, and then he used them. And he spoke out, and the very first thing he spoke out was, let there be light. So this light came, and this was before the sun and the moon, all that kind of light. This was a different light. And what the Lord showed me yesterday as I was just looking at this, because, again, I have no understanding. I haven't been taught in this way, you know, as what Wade said, you know, I'm 100% First Nation, First Cree. Of course, I didn't grow up on my reserve, but the Lord kept me innocent of all the First Nation type ceremonial teachings and things I shouldn't know. Grew up in a very conservative Mennonite home. You know, learned those things. But I learned the Word of God. But, you know, when it comes to some of these things. I am learning. I am a sponge, and I love learning. So I see these living letters. And so when the Lord said that, you know, he spoke out the word and there was light, because I was reading about that in the Torah and in Talmud, that this light, there was a portion of this light that the Lord secreted away. And I was like, huh, what does that mean? What does that mean, Daddy? You secreted it away. You mean you hid it away. But as he continued to create creation and so on and so forth, you know, the angels were created. Lucifer was created. He was the angel of light. And also there was this little, you know, kind of like my little light bulb came on in my spirit and in my head. The Lord showed me that it's this light that is our template by which we compare all other lights to. That very first light, because that's the true light. That was the true light. Lucifer had the true light initially, but then when he fell, he no longer had the true light. He was still a beautiful being. He could create himself that way. That's why he could deceive many. He could come as an angel of light, but his light was just off. And so what the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about yesterday is that this is a time of where we need discernment, the kind of discernment where we can discern what that true light is and what the light is of the lie of the enemy, just the off truth, and not just discern by the light, like by the color, seeing the color white. It's by testing, you know, and how they say test the spirits, you know. I never understood that as a kid. They tried to explain that to me, and I was like as green as a bean and just had no idea. But how the Lord has shown me since is that as we have the Holy Spirit within us, as we've communed with him every day, we begin to know his frequency. We know his voice. We know his sound. We know his scent. We know his heart. We hear his heartbeat. We know, you know, there's times where I say it. I love it when I hear him smile. Like, how do you hear a smile if your eyes are shut? You don't. But, you know, that's the kind of thing. You're so intimate with how the other is that you can hear them when they smile. And so I quite often say that about the Father. I call him my daddy. You know, I hear daddy smile. And so this light, that's the kind of light that we need, because there's so much, you know, even in words, there's so many words. I'm not knocking any prophetic words coming out at all. That's not what I'm saying. And please hear that. But there are those, though, who are not of the Lord, or those who maybe have not spent enough time in the Lord long enough to get a fully accurate word. But so when we hear something and we read something, or even in just the regular news or the things we hear and see out there, we say, okay, well, how does that frequency line up with the frequency that's inside from my Father's heart? Does that line up? Oh, can that be changed? Oh, hey, you know, if it doesn't line up, Father, is there something that can be done? Can we change? Can we pray? If that lines up, what do you want it? You know, okay, give us grace. What do you want us to do? Are we seeking for protection? Are we seeking for wisdom, for grace? Are we seeking, you know, we want to hear the Father's heart with his instruction always and only as we're walking in the days ahead. And we're not to be afraid. The Lord gives us what's called, and we know this, a peace that passes all understanding. His grace is so big for us in that. But when I'm talking about the light now, and this is, you know, a little bit also what Wade was saying earlier, he was making reference to about, you know, being in Yeshua. One of the things that I asked the Father, again, about that first light, you know, Daddy, what was that first light you hid away? And, you know, is that is, you know, when did you use that? And part of that light, he said, he used was in John 17 when Jesus says, verse 20 to 26, Jesus is praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who believe me through their message. I'm just going to go down. I have been, verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So that glory is that light. And the Father used some of that glory and put it on Jesus as he was ending his assignment here on earth. But he says in verse 24, Father, I want those that you have seen, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have created, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And righteous fathers of the world does not know you. I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make them known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And so then I said, okay, Daddy, you know, and this was some time ago when I asked the Lord this, was, Daddy, can we be glorified? Is it okay to ask you for that same glory that you gave to Jesus so that he was accomplishing his, but we need that so we can accomplish what you need us to do in this time. We need that glory, that hidden, so we can be hidden in that and accomplish what it is that we need ahead. Have the discernment where we can see what is the true light and what is the untruth, the truth and the untruth. Because they seem so close. I mean, the enemy we're not going to give him more credit than what he's due, but for sure he's had a long time to be devious and deceitful and try and present untruths as truth. And they're so close sometimes. And so we want that kind of discernment. And so where I'm going right now with this is that I believe that the Lord is wanting us to have this type of discernment and this glory is so that we can get ourselves in order. There's all these words coming out with, you know, of course then the Bible says there'll be wars, rumors of wars. You know, there's all these things that are happening in Israel. Things are happening around the world. There's things that are happening within the U.S. There's things happening within Canada. And it just, you look at it and you could be easily overwhelmed. But what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say is, and I was speaking with our friend Sharon earlier before this call, and we both came to the agreement of this, is that it's time to get our house in order. And now, I'm going to break it down again. We start individually first. Let's get our own house in order. I'm currently on a fast for 21 days because the Lord has called me into a fast, and it's a fast of protection. And this fast of protection goes with the long story of Ezra. If you take time to go and read it, would be, and in our time would be from April 8th to August 4th. They already had the wealth. They were going to go travel through a desert to go and begin to rebuild the city. And, Ezra says he was ashamed to ask the king for protection because he'd already told the king that, you know, they trusted their God. So there's just something, and I'm not saying that there's, we're different from Ezra's time, but there's something that the Lord is doing. And so I'm asking the Lord for protection for whatever it is that he needs to have protected in this time. In that time, in Ezra's time, it was because they were traveling with great wealth through the desert, and they wanted to be protected from marauders and robbers and things like that. The other thing is, for now, for us, we're going through a time where they say things are going to become a little bit more difficult. We're not to fear. We're not to be discouraged. We're not to panic. But this protection is something we can remember, that God is always with us. And so, but we're also getting our temples ready, our bodies ready for this long trek, you know, whatever, however many months we're going to get through, and so on and so forth. But not just that, we're, when I say getting our temples ready, the body of Christ, the bride is getting herself ready. The bride is getting ready to go, you know, I mean, we've been in a warfare, like Wade said, and I've been feeling it personally myself, and I think that's some of why the Lord has asked me to go into a fast, is just to pray for protection so that, again, you know, my primary calling is to have the angels be released to go ahead and clear the obstacles out of the ways, you know, for those within in the body of Christ, those that I work with, but, you know, so that people can move ahead in their giftings and callings and ministries. So we're getting ourselves ready, but we're also getting our, you know, we're clearing out the things not of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Not even in our lives, but within our churches. You know, the Lord is doing a work among our churches, our places where we fellowship, and we've seen that in various circumstances, you know, within the U.S. and in Canada, but there's more going to happen, a deeper work. And so, you know, of course, this is somewhere where the enemy will want to come in and you know, wreak even more havoc, but you know, we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords fighting for us. I was recently on a flight to Toronto just over the this past week and last week. I needed to fly to Toronto and then to Kingston and be a part of something. And I was traveling on the plane, and I asked the Lord to show me something. Just, Daddy, let me see where we are right now and what we're doing. Or just encourage me. And it was really neat being a seer. I was riding along in the plane, and it wasn't so much that I was fearful for anything. It wasn't that. Sometimes it's nice to be able to see when the Lord does what he does. And all of a sudden, what I get is I see this white horse riding beside me on the plane, as I'm on the plane, and I'm just trying to find a chapter really quick here. Yeah, here we are, and it's from Revelation chapter 19, and so I see this figure on a white horse. And he's riding along, thing, and he's riding like the wind, like his hair's back and he's going. And I'm thinking, like, I know who you are. And I'm smiling while I'm sitting there by my window, by the seat. And this is all I saw as he goes flying by. And it, this was written on his thigh, just like it says here. So it says here in verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 10. On his robe and on his thigh he has written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw that written on his robe and on his thigh. And here's me. I get to be almost like a kid when I see things like this in the spirit, because it's like, wow, Daddy, like, thank you. You know, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That in spite of all the stuff that the world is trying to throw at us, the stuff that the enemy is trying to throw at us, the stuff that we think like, man, you know, are we going to come out unscathed on the other side, or, you know, whatever it is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is riding with us. And so the fun part of this, and I'm going to end with this and then I'm going to pray, but the fun part of this is when I got to Toronto, I had rented a vehicle because I had to drive to Kingston. And I didn't, you know, say what kind of car I just hired a car and that was it. So I went out to my car and I put the little beeper on to find it. And I had a little bit of a surprise, which literally made me laugh because it was a brand new white Dodge Charger. And I thought, Daddy, you're so good. Here you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming into the thick of all that we are in, and you give me a car with like all this horsepower so that I can ride, you know, just ride with you. The battle is yours. You know, I'm just praising you. I'm just worshiping you. I'm just doing what you want me to do. And that's it. And there's peace, you know. And so that's what I want to leave with you, is that the Lord is getting us ready. Get your house ready. Seek the Lord. Ask him. Let him clear out the things that need to be cleared out. Let him pour you out. Let him pour you over. And clear out anything else that you think, you know, we can't see what's in ourselves. Sometimes we need our friends to do that. Sometimes the Lord just says, hey, I just want to dump you out a little bit. Let's just get that last little spot out of there. And he'll do that. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand it back to Wayne. So, Father, I thank you for your grace and for your incredible love for us, for your incredible passion for your people, Lord God. Father, for your incredible passion for the remnant, for those who are yet to come into the kingdom, for all of us, Lord, who are preparing for this harvest, for all of us, Lord God, who have been in this fight, Father, for all of us who have been taking our stands and then standing at our posts, for all of the watchmen on the wall at all hours of day and night, Father, I want to thank you that you are always constantly with us, that the armies of heaven have surrounded us, that, Father, there is not a moment that you have ever left us or forsaken us. Your word is always and has always and will always be true. You are faithful and just. You are strong and mighty. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And, Father, I thank you for a greater release of your anointing, a greater release, a double release, Lord, I'm going to ask you for your people, Lord, that even on this call, Father, if there is anyone in the time ahead, Lord, that needs to hear this, that they would receive that double portion of anointing to continue on, to carry on, to know that they are not alone. And that, Father, that breakthrough, the victory is won. The battle is won. The breakthrough is coming. That breakthrough is closer than we think. And we have all that we need of. We have all that we need of. And even though we might be going through a desert, we might be going through for 40 days or for however many days, Father, you are there, and there will be nothing that the enemy can do to come and steal or take or maraud or kill or destroy, Father. You are there with us. And so we bless you, Lord. We thank you and we honor you. And I say, Father, let these legs and limbs and lives be strengthened. Let the lungs, let our air be charged with the atmosphere of the Lord. And I bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. April, and you know me, I can't thank you enough. What a beautiful lady and incredible ministry she has. And she just spoke a ton into our lives. John Rockwell is going to pull a couple things together, give some courage words, and then lead us in communion tonight. John?
So thanks, Wade, and good evening, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and pare down what I had prepared tonight because it will save for another day, and I feel that it's important to play the piece of music that I had just because of this particular time. We need the encouragement, and that's what this particular song is encouraging. But just a tad of a good word to get things started, and then I'll go into the song, and then after the song, have your elements already prepared for us to take communion, because we'll do that right after we hear the song. But we're birthing the kingdom, and there is a reset. God's reset, it has already begun. And as we know, we've been called to that, and to the kingdom, what Wade was talking about, and millions of dreams are going to be released by the prodigal children that we have and others as well that are going to come back into the Lord's fold and be more powerful, more diligent than they were before they became prodigals. So I figured I'd just give you that quick word that I thought was important for tonight and then go right into the song. And this song, the reason why I chose it, and sometimes it doesn't take me very long to choose a song just because of what is inside of me, but it's a song entitled I Have a New Name. In other words, the world says this is what you are, but through Scripture and through what God is saying, He gives us a new name. And I figured we needed to hear this tonight just because of all the things that is going on surrounding us, that we needed a little bit of a pick-me-up. At least I did. So this is a piece of music called I Have a New Name, and I converted it to the 444 hertz frequency.
Identity, what our real name was, and that there'd be many moments in our lives where we'd let different kinds of names define us. When we've looked in the mirror, compared ourselves to pictures, and heard the name ugly. When we've been left by loved ones, people we trusted once, and heard the name unworthy. When we've been drowning in discouragement, living in a seemingly never-ending crisis, and heard the name forgotten. When we've had our hopes up and our hearts open, only to be brought down by closed doors, and we've heard rejected. When we look for infinite affirming love through lesser physical fleshly versions. When we give it away or when it was stolen, and we hear impure, we hear garbage. When we go to other vices to ease our pain, and we hear addict, we hear forever broken. When we feel like we're living in the shadow of someone else's calling, and we hear second place. When our pain cripples us to a point where we don't even know how to let others in, and we hear lonely. When our past seems too gross for others to forgive, and we hear disgusting. It's overwhelming. These voices we're constantly hearing. It's suffocating. This air of constant critique and comparing. And it's sort of amazing. The people whose voices I've allowed to name me. The power I've given to my past, to my mirror, and to my surroundings, and enabled them to identify me. The amount of years I've spent living up to whatever others say over me. But God says something else about me. It's like He knew there would be other voices. So he wrote his voice down in a timeless book of truths that would remind us over and over again in the moments when lies would block his truths and somehow make us forget. I'm going back to the source, not the people I've allowed to represent God to me, but the actual, literal, tangible words that he has written down for me. And there's some other name he's given to me. John 15:15, he called me friend. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he called me chosen. Ephesians 2:10, he called me his workmanship. He called me his art. He called me handmade. He called me purposed and fashioned for good things. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he called my body a temple. He called it the residence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he called me his messenger to the world. Galatians 3:26, he called me his child. Romans 5:8, he called me greatly loved. John 8:36, he called me free, free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he called me brand new. And it's amazing how different these names are from the names I'm used to listening to. And in my journey to discover who I really am, in my battle to uncover the truths of myself, I've learned something new about my name. And now this is what I am certain of. My name is not the name the world called me. My name is not the name my past called me. My name is not even the name my own mirror called me. But my name is the name I answer to. And I can choose today, from this moment forward, to answer to a new name. When I hear lonely, that's not me. When I hear disgusting, that's not me. When I hear unworthy, I don't even look over my shoulder. When I hear broken, they must have confused me. Please look elsewhere. When I hear ugly, abandoned, useless, forgotten, I figure someone just has to remind them. Maybe those were my old names, but they're no longer the names that I respond to. My name is the name I've chosen to spend my days living up to. And if these other voices are not saying the same thing that the truth is, I look in my mirror and I repeat this. They have no right to be speaking to you. When you stop answering to your old name, they stop having power over you. The name that my Father, eternity's author, the world's creator has called me are the only names that I answer to. When I hear friend of God, that's my name. God's workmanship, that's my name. Chosen, that's my name. Loved, wanted, created with a purpose, that's my name. God's temple, that's my name. God's messenger, that's my name. Free, that's my name. Child of God, you must be looking for me. Greatly loved, you must be calling for me. Brand new, that is my name. That is the name that I respond to. The enemy has no power here. Perfect love cast down fear, and perfect love has named me and you. What is your new name? What is stirring up inside of you when you hear these words, that his word, that the word has proclaimed? What do you know is the name God is calling you? Maybe it's not the name you grew up with. Maybe it's not the name your old friends associate you with. Maybe it's not the name that your whole life you were used to identifying with. But it's the name you now answer to. So when the enemy tries to get to you, it's the name you introduce yourself with. As for me, my name is forgiven. My name is free. My name is brand new. Loved, wanted, child of God, created with a purpose. And it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Well, there you go. I hope that has lifted you up. Did me. I personally like the one being called friend, because Yeshua is my friend. In fact, we're going to remember him now, as we remember him in the common union that we have with him. And I'm going to try to get this right, how Wade describes it, that the blood of Yeshua covers us from the inside out. And I know that's the each cell that we have from the inside out. But that's how the blood cleanses us and gives us his blood. As we think of his blood sacrifice and his broken body as well, remember that he calls us friend, and he did that for us. He died and took all the sin of all the world on his shoulders, and when he died, that particular sin of the world was taken care of. And when he was buried, and then he rose from the dead, he conquered death, which gives us that new life in him, in Yeshua, because we are a part of him, he is part of us, and he's part of the Father as well. So it all comes together that we're all together, and I'm just thankful that he was the ultimate sacrifice for us with his broken body and his shed blood. So go ahead and partake of the elements right now. So back to you, Wade.
John, you just preached a 2-hour sermon in a song in a few words. How powerful, how perfect that song was. I thank you so much. I want to encourage everybody and thank them for being here and send people to the website and do the replays. It'll bless you and other people. Steve, you're going to be traveling here. You're going to be missed and greatly. we always are so thankful for you being here and being a part of everything of what we've done. And from the day that I met you on the phone and when Jim introduced us, it's never been anything but a blessing. So we'll be praying over you as you travel.
Thank you.
And lifting you up and asking the Lord to make a way. And hopefully I'll have some good reports during this time period. So let's do keep in touch. You're going to be in the U.S., so your regular phone will work, I'm
yes.
sure. So
we're going.
Yep. Everybody, and once again, April, wow. What can I say, wow? There's a new calendar coming out for the month of IR. And IR, as April was saying, it means a lot of things. But it's the month to increase revelation and understanding of the times and the secrets of God. So that's why he's saying in Revelation 1, I'm going to pull to that right there, right now. It's Revelation 4:1. And he's saying, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing in heaven open. And the first voice that I'd heard addressing me like that of the trumpet of war said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place in the future. So in the third heavens, we specifically have been called into the throne room many, many times, and even to the room, the boardroom of the elders. We've seen things and heard things that he wants to show each and every one of us if you're willing to step into that scripture and step into that word. I want to encourage each of you. I want to thank you for being here. Dave Bradford, thank you for showing up tonight. I hope you were blessed. And every Monday it's a little different, but it's still very much like this. We might have 30 minutes of prayer. We might not have any time for prayer tonight. We're not going to have it. What April brought and what John shared and what I hope I did is life. And the Hebrew Living Letters, there's books written on it. The Word of God says that the letters themselves are alive. It's not just a symbol on a paper. They are living, everything about them. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to press in. I want to thank all of you for being here and speak blessings over you. May the Lord keep you and watch over you. May the angels clear the pathways before you. May you go back and take this month's prayer guide and pray that prayer, the warfare prayer, and pray it over you every day. We've seen people had families turned around from that one prayer. Matter of fact, Jim and I were talking about that this month. We prayed with somebody, and they've had breakthroughs. We've seen breakthroughs over and over again in protection. where you would think that there would be no way to have protection, God has made a way. So I greatly appreciate you all. Look up, Maranatha, our redemption, our Lord draws nigh unto us, and he is here. Heaven is occupying the same place we are. Heaven and earth collided this past year, and he's not left. He's in the battle with us, and he's leading the charge. We just need to call upon the angels and do what he says to do, seek him first. Blessings to all. I thank you for your time, your faithfulness. And with that, we say good night.